Hi, I'm Moon Unit Zappa, and you're listening to Pantheon Podcasts.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Martin Popoff here. Welcome back again to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcasts. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network of Music Swamis. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms anywhere you get your podcasts. All right, this is episode 157. I'm calling this Solo Albums from Drummers. Took a long look at what drummers have been up to for solo albums and wanted to spotlight some of the high points. I thought of maybe doing a worst of and a best of, but I don't know. We'll see. And in fact, I think I'm going to just kind of mention everything here. To make these episodes rich, I like to just kind of exhaust everything in one episode. This is all stuff I basically really appreciate in terms of solo albums from drummers. Pretty easy concept. We have lots to talk about, though, so let's get right into our first selection. This is Clark Kent with Away From Home. All right, so this is none other than Stuart Copeland as a pseudonym. And I loved this album he put out. He started out with a couple of singles in 78, right when the Police were getting big. And essentially, that sort of morphed into, there were videos. It morphed into a short album. Some call it an EP album. It had 8 songs on it, but great singing, great kind of like comedic, goofy, very catchy stuff. In the videos, I think Andy Summers and Sting showed up and they were all in masks or whatever. So he had kind of a minor hit with this stuff. But the short album came out right when Zenyatta Mondatta was coming out. But essentially what I love about this situation is it's Stuart Copeland doing that great Stuart Copeland drumming, but he's also writing the songs. He's got that great sort of Dennis the Menace voice that you get with him in the Police. Of course, Sting's their main singer, but Andy Summers did some singing too. Just a super talented guy. Almost goes over my head, essentially. I mean, he's a real smarty pants kind of guy, right? He eventually came out with The Rhythmatist and he's done all sorts of very highly musical stuff and orchestration and operated in a lot of different fields. But the Clark Kent album, I had that immediately. What does it say here? The Police just released Zenyatta Mondatta, were at the peak of their success, and it got a lot of media attention. Widely assumed that this was Copeland working under pseudonym. Copeland initially denied being Clark Kent, stating that Kent was just a friend that he helped to make the album. In an interview on Australian TV in 81, he stated that Kent was a young Hungarian ballet instructor trained by the CIA. Really, really entertaining album. Hard to get. I notice it's not on Spotify, which is kind of interesting. It did come out on A&M. I remember I had my Canadian copy. I looked at the UK on Discogs, and it's pretty cool. It's got the A&M logo, but it's done in green. I think it was green vinyl, too. But just a really cool, mischievous little pseudonym thing from a very, very talented drummer doing a solo album. It's not quite an album, like I say. The Rhythmatist is an album, and he has lots of stuff later on as well. Stuart Copeland on lead and backing vocals, drums, guitar, bass, piano, typewriter, and kazoo. In 1995, there was a CD. I'd like to have that, actually. It'd be kind of cool. Called Collected Works, where it's all that early stuff plus a bunch of other things. I guess he had some singles that were not on the EP as well, and then there's some later stuff put in there as well. But yeah, so he's our first solo albums from drummers candidate here. Like I say, all these people are included on this list of my 5 because they're super creative guys. guys, and that's what I wanted to celebrate with this episode. All right, let's move on to track number two. Take a listen to this. This is Jerry Gaskell with Sandy. Okay, so this is Jerry Gaskell from King's X. You know, he's only done two solo albums, but still, it's really cool that they're good albums. He drums, he writes the lyrics, he's in on the writing of the music as well, and he is the lead singer. He's a great lead singer. Basically, he's better on the second album than the first album. The first album is from when is it, back in 2004-ish? Anyways, long time ago. This is from Love and Scars 2015, so not that long ago. Lead vocals and drums. One cool thing on here, the top guest at the list of guests is our Ko-Fi contributor and Contrarians Patreon subscriber and panelist sometimes, Andy Blacksugar. So really cool on lead guitars. Andy's prolific solo career as well, KMFDM, Blondie, but yeah, his credit reads lead guitar, soundscapes and noises on all songs except Goodbye Song. Earl Slick is on this album as well. All songs written by Jerry Gaskell and D.A. Carcos. I looked up D.A. Carcos' site. I don't know him very well, but he says vocalist, songwriter, producer, guitarist, bassist, and self-contained recording entity. Sharpened his chops on NYC's unforgiving rock scene in the aughties and late 90s as lead singer, rhythm guitarist for the bands One and Bully. But he's not the guy we're celebrating here. We are celebrating Jerry Gaskell as a very talented drummer who can also sing and write. Right, and he's right in there, very prolific in King's X, doing this as well. He had some health scares with his heart, I believe it was, a little while ago. That was not great. So King's X has never had any changes in their lineup. They're essentially those three guys, three very, very important guys in that band, Ty Tabor and Doug Pinnick, in there as well. And so Jerry's all over those records, of course, and he's contributing on lots of side projects as well, working with those guys. And another reason to celebrate Jerry is there's a new King's X album around the corner. There's a new single called Let It Rain, I believe it's called. Really cool track. Good recording on it too. And actually a little different, which is kind of neat to see. But there you go. Another super creative drummer here worth celebrating in episode 157, solo albums from drummers. All right. This episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help, or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And special offer to History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/5songs. That's betterhelp.com/5songs. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, let's move on to our third selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Roger Taylor with Airheads. All right, we're really stepping it up here. Roger Taylor with Queen. This is from Fun in Space, April 6, 1981. It's his first solo album, so we're in that sort of a hot space, the game hot space moving into the works sort of period. You know, this is a pretty good heavy one with some Queenisms to it, but the whole album is absolutely fun in space. It is really, really interesting. And he does a lot of really cool things, but super creative guy. Obviously, his drumming is really cool as well. He has a lot of cool drum ideas and he gets a lot of cool drum sounds. So we love that about Roger. He's a songwriter in Queen. He's a singer in Queen. So he's this great vocalist in the band as well. So I really wanted to pick him here. Roger Taylor, drums, percussion, lead and backing vocals, guitars, bass guitar, and keyboards on this album. So that's what I love about him as well. He's just super talented. He backs it up with a lot of talent. David Richards engineers that album and he does approximately 50% of the keyboards as the credits read. But he did Fun in Space, then he did Strange Frontier. Those two kind of go together as those, you know, kind of well-received, well-regarded, interesting, action-packed, light, fun albums that that Roger put out as solo albums. He has Happiness? In 94, Electric Fire in 98, Fun on Earth 2013, Outsider 2021. So he just recently did a solo album, kind of went under the radar, but really kind of cool. Some mellowness, some heaviness, and he does some, you know, it's not always all about the drums and just that great voice that you get out of Roger. I've got this big, massive box set of his as well that takes in everything he's ever done, which is really cool. But yeah, I definitely, again, this is celebrating those drummers that are so creative. So Roger Taylor, here he is. He's essentially being, you know, more or less a Stuart Copeland. Who was our, Jerry Gaskell. Well, Jerry Gaskell is actually, you know, of a lower level that you get, you know, Stuart Copeland and Roger Taylor are, in terms of the variety of things they do and the prolificness, they really step it up here. And again, we're going to, as we move on here, we're going to step it up as well. So take a listen to our fourth track. Here we go. This is Bruford with Back to the Beginning. All right, so this is from Feels Good to Me, 1978. We've got Bill Bruford on drums and percussion. Alan, and percussion's a very important thing with Bill. Alan Holdsworth, electric guitar. Dave Stewart, keyboards. Jeff Berlin on bass. So this is really Bill Bruford as this band Bruford showing us a lot of Jeff Berlin, which is really cool. Jeff Berlin and Bill Bruford go together so well, as does Alan Holdsworth. What a team those guys are. All together, they just create this amazing sound. But Bill Bruford to me reminds me not of a Roger Taylor, but he reminds me of a Stuart Copeland in terms of number one, being a great drummer with his own sound, and that's a really cool thing to have. But he's also a guy who's like too smart for me. He goes over my head, right? He's like a really sophisticated muso. So he starts off with these Bruford albums, and I really love the second one as well, One of a Kind. It's got that opening song, Hell's Bells, which is an instrumental. But, you know, so the first album, as you know, I wanted to play something for you with vocals. I wish there were vocals on all his albums. They probably would have been some of the great prog albums of all time, but they're kind of fusion-y as well, of course. But what I like about, as you move into the third one, Gradually Going Tornado, you get vocals by Jeff Berlin on about half of it. So it's kind of cool that way. And, you know, Bill, of course, is writing and all that. So what I appreciate most out of Bill Bruford is the early stuff, because later on he gets more jazzy and more fusion-y and more light music and world music-y. I guess you would say more he's a jazz guy when you get up into the Earthwork stuff. But he gets very, very prolific later on in life, which I totally admire, but I'm just not that particularly into. And if you know anything about me, you know, I don't have a lot of patience for instrumental music. I do want to hear lyrics. I thought though it's kind of interesting. I think that this Gradually Going Tornado album almost reminds me, we did an episode earlier called Shadow Albums, and to me this is almost the shadow album of the first UK album, which I consider one of the great prog albums of all time. It's one of the great prog supergroup albums of all time. But the interesting thing about that album The UK album was Bill Bruford, drums and percussion, John Wetton on bass, lead, and backing vocals, so it's not Jeff Berlin, and it's Eddie Jobson, super important guy in there on keyboards, electric violin, and electronics, but it is Alan Holdsworth. So you do have Alan Holdsworth coming into the band from this Bruford situation. So when you get Alan Holdsworth and Bill Bruford together, you do kind of get this interesting shadow album feel, I think, to these, you know, this trio of interesting early Bruford albums. Wanted to pick him. Funny story for you, I suppose. With this fourth slot I had, it was a bit of a war between two diametrically opposed drummers, Bill Bruford, who won out, but I almost went with Phil Rudd. Believe it or not, Phil Rudd, I have fond memories of getting to interview him when he put out that Head Job album, 2016. And I wanted to put him in here almost because it was kind of a weird out there thing seeing Phil Rudd, you know, this troubled guy, you know, he went through that whole thing, you know, did he hire a hitman to kill somebody? Did he, you know, the drug charges, all that stuff. He had a bit of a crazy period in his life there, but it's kind of cool to see him come together for a solo album. And the neat thing about Head Job, surprise, surprise, it's a really good album. I really like it a lot. He produces the album, he drums on the album, and he drums. The neat thing about it is you can hear him drum a little bit more busier and kind of different kind of beats than you get on AC/DC, but you can hear it is Phil Rudd. And a funny thing is I thought, okay, well, I'm you know, if I'm going to include him, I better check if he does singing on this. And I'm looking all over the internet and thinking, where can I find out? It's kind of vague on what he's doing for vocals and stuff. And then I go, I know, I'll check my own interview with him. So I did that. And I did ask him that, and unfortunately, he said, so it's three guys in the band. The songs are written by Badger, Martin, and Rudd, mostly, but the vocals on the credits say Alan Badger and Phil Rudd, producer Phil Rudd. Like I say, that was kind of a cool thing. But I asked him, and he said, just on a few BVs. I didn't sing on any of the main vocals. I write a lot of the words with Badge, so there was one reason to put him in. And a lot of it is my story, and at the end of the day, Phil Rudd is a more marketable name than Johnny and the Jackknives, so we had to deal with that. And, you know, use my history as sort of a bit of a leg up, you know? It's a bit of a tough interview. He had a really heavy accent, and he seemed a little disjointed and hard to understand, and the phone line wasn't great. It was a challenge talking to him. I didn't enjoy it. Eventually I disqualified him because I wanted to talk about drummers who really contributed in this idea of making their own solo albums. And then B, because the lead vocals, you know, frankly, I was playing it before I went and looked at my own interview. I was playing it going, boy, that really sounds like Phil Rudd, you know, singing that lead vocal. But it turns out it wasn't. But what I like about this album, it's not really like an AC/DC album, but it is like an Angel City or Angels album. I thought it had some really good, you know, down and dirty AC/DC sort of vibes on it. Or Australian vibes on it, but those vibes are more of an Angel City, Doc Neeson sort of vibe. You can definitely hear that there's some life that has been lived by this guy, and I really like the melodies on it. I thought it was just a good kind of barroom rocking album that had a real good Angels/Angel City vibe to it. So that's why I almost went with it. So yeah, there's two very, very different guys and drummers and careers and discographies for you in Bill Bruford and Phil Rudd. Okay, let's move on to our fifth selection. Take a listen to this. This is Bill Ward with Ashes.
We shall all be death. We shall be death. And the human head has been burned for spite, becomes a landscape crowned with ashes. Lips are stitched upon a handmade doll on black and pink. That pierce beyond the sorrow, kicking back before it crashes.
Okay, so Bill Ward, now I can let the cat out of the bag as well, and I'm going to go back to entry four. I almost went with Bill Ward as entry four and five, which would have been breaking a rule for, you know, I don't think I've ever doubled up on anybody for, I've had episodes that had to do that, but across 156 previous episodes, I didn't really feel, I almost felt like there was an honor I had to give Bill, and I was going to pick another Bill Ward track as track number four. And why am I telling you all this? I went through Accountable Beasts again, his 2015 album. So this would be his third full-length solo album. I went through it again, and this is an absolute masterpiece of an album. It's a masterwork of an album. It's the greatest album of 2015. It's probably one of the greatest albums of the 2000s. And I know I'm a little bit in a, you know, that's an odd thing to say about an obscure album, but even Bill Ward-friendly fans or Sabbath fans or whatever, people who love classic rock fans who go play that album, a lot of them aren't going to agree with me on that. But I was just going through this record, and I just could not believe how masterful it is. I've said this up and down, left and right. You know, he is one of the great songwriting, lyrics, singing even, arranging geniuses of all rock that we never really got to see much from. But we did get to see a little bit from him. So back in 1990, he put out the Ward One Along the Way album with that weird eccentric album cover. And anybody who knows that album, and a lot of people did because it was pretty famous at the time, and Ozzy guests on it as well, knows that he's a really cerebral solo artist. That was a really interesting, Jack Bruce is on it as well. That was a really interesting, classy, complicated album where you stood back and went, wow, this guy's just the drummer of Black Sabbath, you know, the guy with the long hair and the beard and the mustache, and we don't get much out of him. He doesn't write much in Sabbath. He sings, you know, what is it, one song? Is it two songs, I think? Swinging the Chain and It's All Right, at least, anyways. But so he was not a big contributor to Sabbath in that way. He's the drummer. But I wanted to pick him as the last, the most esteemed slot in history in Five Songs with Martin Popoff here, the fifth slot, because I think out of all these guys we've talked about, and we've got some geniuses here, you know, we've got Stuart Copeland's a musical genius, we've got Bill Bruford, who is a musical genius, and we've got Jerry Gaskell, who's a very smart guy and a great music guy, and we've got Roger Taylor, who's an all-round utility. You know, I don't want to throw the word genius around, truly too much here, so I won't call Roger Taylor a genius, but I will call Stuart and Bill, and this Bill Ward, a genius. Absolute musical genius. Go play this record, Accountable Beasts. It's got nothing for an album cover. It's not on, it's super hard to get on CD, but it is on YouTube, so you can go play it as full album or individual tracks, and I've always been very, very surprised that it's actually on Spotify as well, because neither Ward One Along the Way, which was a you know, semi-major label release album, that's not on Spotify, and his second album of complete utter genius as well, When the Bow Breaks from 1997, that's not on Spotify either. There's the Straws single, which is an incredible release. He sent me one. It was signed. They were numbered. It was just a single CD. But the Straws song is on Accountable Beasts as well. It's late in the track list. You know, just even go play the end of this album. Like, there's a song on there called The Wall of Death. Wow. This record is almost like, it's slightly raw, so the production is not, there's not a lot going on in the arrangements, but so I'm telling you this because I'm comparing it to Roger Waters, but I would say as a torrid, emotional, melancholic, intellectual experience, I would say Accountable Beasts is as good or better than any Roger Waters album. Amused to Death, that last one he put out, that the title is so long I can never get the words in the right order, but I played that album over and over and over again. Interestingly enough, it's from around the same time as Accountable Beasts, I believe. Go play this Accountable Beasts album. It will absolutely surprise you at the genius that is Bill Ward, as an all-around, like I say, music, lyrics, the singing. I mean, what an odd, interesting voice this guy has. I definitely wanted to celebrate him here because, you know, in a way, out of all these guys we've talked about, he's a real secret weapon, a best-kept secret. And I've said this up and down over and over again. If Bill Ward was in there writing songs and allowed to write music and lyrics throughout Black Sabbath's career, say, after Ozzy was gone, all of those albums would have been of an absolutely higher artistic level, you know, starting right with Heaven and Hell, frankly. I think if Bill Ward was writing the way he writes on these three solo albums he did on Heaven and Hell, Heaven and Hell would have been a better album even, as would Mob Rules and, of course, everything else. I mean, Black Sabbath could have been one of the most highly regarded, you know, they could have been, they could have a stature of them, of the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones, had they gone all through the 70s, frankly, and the 80s, with Bill providing way more, including singing more, throughout. So yeah, can't recommend this album enough. Go play it, Accountable Beast. I will stop ranting now about Bill Ward. So in terms of honorable mentions, so another funny story. I mean, well, this idea of, did I want to include Bad Stuff here? Do I have enough for a whole episode of Bad Stuff? Drummers doing solo albums has not a great history. So I picked absolutely the high points. But, you know, a famous one, as considered one of the worst albums of all time by anybody, is Keith Moon's Two Sides of the Moon. And, you know, frankly, one of the catalogs that's considered one of the worst. I hate to say this because I like Peter, but Peter Criss's catalog is known to be one of the worst, you know, the worst run of albums of anybody. And of course, you know, of the four Kiss solo albums, it was considered, you know, a disaster, and by far the worst of those records. Phil Collins is a funny one, super successful guy, but a lot of people put down those Phil Collins albums. Alan White, Ramshackle, people don't like that so much. I don't think Cozy Powell's albums are that great. Mick Fleetwood has done solo albums as well. Ginger Baker, I think, is a little bit of a disaster when it comes to solo albums. We all know Tommy Lee from Motley Crue is a bit of a disaster when it comes to solo albums. He had an affinity for nu metal and rap and loops and you know, electronic rhythms and stuff, so he wanted to explore that. He's actually a pretty interesting musician, but that's why you know, he got a lot of ridicule. Mickey Hart is known for being kind of the world music drummer, explorer kind of guy. Ginger Baker as well. Remember, he moved to Africa. Carmen Appice, you know, interesting guy. He's been part of a lot of different lineups, but he's led a lot of bands, and we know he's a good singer with Vanilla Fudge. Herman Rarebell, Herman Z. German, Nip in the Bud. Ringo Starr. Ringo Starr is a guy whose catalog is fairly ridiculed. He's put out a lot of solo albums. So he's one of the interesting guys that did that. He's a guy that came from a band. He sung enough to be a singer. He wrote a little bit to be a writer. And he's a drummer. And hence, you know, the other guys are all making solo albums. So he had a long solo career as well. Charlie Watts and Neil Peart are an interesting case. I put them together because both of them didn't do a lot. And you can put them with Bill Bruford as well, but, you know, Neil Peart did basically that big band tribute sort of album, and Charlie Watts was kind of into that sort of thing, and we know Bill Bruford with Earthworks became kind of a jazz drummer guy. So, you know, obviously we never got Neil Peart lyricist, as lyricist, you know, flexing those muscles outside of Rush anywhere. So kind of interesting, but yeah, never got a lot of Neil, did we? Levon Helm did some solo albums. Don Henley's an interesting case. He's such a horrible drummer that basically we know him more as a singer and a songwriter, and he had a big successful solo career, but this is not exactly a drummer making solo albums, because as a drummer, he's so lousy. Nick Mason, Fictitious Sports, is really just a solo album, kind of in name. I saw on one sort of, you know, looking at sort of a chat discussion, somebody mentioned that some of the greatest drummer solo albums of all time are Naranda Michael Walden, Garden of Love Delight, Billy Cobham's Spectrum. A lot of people mentioned that one. He mentions as well Bruford One of a Kind, which we sampled, Simon Phillips Protocol 2, Lenny White, Astral Pirates, Alfonso Muzon, Mind Transplant, Harvey Mason, Earth Mover, Cozy Powell, Over the Top, I disagree, Dave Weckl, Master Plan. You know, I a couple of guys who've been helping me a lot with episodes recently, Mick Phelan and Neil Miller. I asked them about it as well. So thank you guys for putting in a little bit of input. But I wanted to read a little bit. Neil Miller wrote the Peter Criss atrocity I mentioned before, One for All. There must have been a carbon monoxide leak in the studio when Pete was recording this. The only explanation for the complete lack of energy all around. Well, it kind of goes for all the Peter Criss albums, doesn't it, there, Neil? Alan White, Ramshackled, he says, seems like the only reason this album exists because Yes did the Let's All Do solo albums thing at the time. And being a member of Yes at the time, Alan White duly released a solo album which featured no Alan White vocals and no Alan White songwriting credits. So there you go. That's, again, this idea that, you know, most drummers don't have these other chops that allow them to have solo albums as good enough to be in a History in Five Songs episode, right? So that's kind of what happens with drum albums, and it kind of makes sense. Neil also says, Cozy Powell, Especially for You, released shortly after his death. This features no Cozy songwriting credits or vocals, but lots of soft, understated drumming, mostly played using brushes. Just kidding. It features the thunderous Cozy Powell drum sound on a bunch of songs that really don't make any kind of lasting impression. Yeah, so there you go. We don't really have, you know, this big cool catalog really that comes out of Cozy either. So there you go. You know, go try out some of these songs. I do, of course, want to mention that if you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to Ko-fi, rhymeswithnofee.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button and buy me a coffee or a pint. On that front for this week, I would like to thank Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission. So it was so cool to read those credits and see that he is part of something we just featured here. That was great. Bruce Campbell, Lee Clifford, David Fisher, Darren Kasabowski, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Stephen Samchuk, and Andrew Smith. Thank you all very much. Other than that, martinpopoff.ca. I got to update that thing because I've done a lot more illustrations. I've been doing a lot of these illustrations. I'm going to do another Prince run pretty soon because a lot of people are waiting for some of these guys I've been doing these pencil crayon on black illustrations of. But at ArtPal. .com. Every time I do one, I update that, so they're all available there. You could just go check out everything I've done there. And of course, all the books at martinpopoff.com. You know, anything with a PayPal button there, buy now button, means I have in stock usually. I mean, there's the odd one that I don't, but don't really need to check with me there. Those should all be there. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And of course, I knew I would be saying this at the end of it, but out of everything we talked about here, go play that dang Bill Ward album. Let me know what you think on the Facebook page. But I just, every time I go back to Accountable Beasts, I'd go, this is one of the greatest albums ever made. There you go. Talk to you later.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.